If you brought your Bible, you can begin to open it, and you can go ahead and open up to the book of Ephesians, and we'll get there eventually, Ephesians chapter 3. But tonight I titled the message, T minus dot, dot, dot. All right? Now, if you know anything about, if you've ever seen a rocket launch on TV, NASA went to launch a shuttle into outer space, or maybe you've been so privileged as to see one live off from a distance, I think that would be pretty cool to see that live. Actually, did anybody see, it was in December, there was like this like crazy like little glowy white, blue, and everybody was like, aliens! And it was all over, social media. They launched some satellites into outer space. And you could see it over Riverside and Beaumont, and I got a really nice video of it on my Instagram, which nobody follows. But that aside, if you've ever seen these things launch, before it launches, what they say is T minus 10, 9, 8, and they do the countdown. The T stands for time, minus stands for minus, and the time stands for time. Pretty simple, right? And so the time minus the number equals the time at which the rocket will launch. Everybody follow? It's not rocket science. Well, I guess it is, huh? all right, so cheesy, I know. Okay, T minus dot, 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 and the time is up to you. But let me just say this. What I want to do tonight is I want to encourage you about your future. And I want to help. I want to, and it's not me, of course, by the power of God tonight. I want to help you to get your hopes up about your future, and to help you build your faith up about tomorrow and about this next year of 2018. If there's anybody out there in life who should be hopeful and should be faith-filled and should be expectant about the future, it ought to be the church. Nobody has a greater opportunity than we do to see a bright and glorious future, because we serve God. We serve the one, the only true God and his son, Jesus Christ. And so tonight, if you're not excited, if you're not hopeful about 2018, I believe that you can be, and I believe that you should be. And I believe that as you begin to get a revelation of what God has for your life, that all of a sudden your hope is going to begin to rise and your heart's going to begin to rejoice. I'm reminded of what the psalmist said. He said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" He said, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him." In other words, God's goodness is going to come to pass in my life sooner or later. So get your hopes up, because it's coming. You're going to praise him once again. You're going to sing once again. You're going to lift your hands once again. You're going to jump and you're going to rejoice in the goodness of God once again. And so for me personally, I'm really excited about this year, 2018, and what God has in store, both for us as individuals and for us as the body of Christ. Amen. God has good things in store for you personally, as well as he has goodness in store for us as a body. And I believe that God has called us to some things. And man, if you knew everything that God had in store, it would blow your head would blow up. So that's why God doesn't share everything all at once. But you understand what I mean. God is just that good. And so let me just for a moment remind you and remind myself of just how good God is. In James chapter 1, verse number 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." I just love it. I just love it so much. And so often in my life, it has reminded me that God is a good God. You know, the psalmist declares, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And my friend, if you've ever tasted the goodness of the Lord, you have to admit that there is no other thing on planet Earth, there is no other person on planet Earth that could ever compare to the goodness of God. It was this goodness that Moses cried out, "God, let me see. God, I want to see your glory. God, I want to see your goodness." It's the same goodness the Bible says in Romans that turns sinners to repentance. That turns men's hearts to say, "You know what? I don't want to do what I've been doing anymore. I want to lay hold of God, because he is good." That's who God is. And you know what? I think sometimes we forget, maybe because of adverse circumstances, maybe because of opposition, maybe because of a series of unfortunate events take place in our life, and we start to forget. And you know what? The devil would love nothing more than to twist your image of who God is. But today, he's a good God. And he loves you. And my Bible says that he has good things in store for you and for me. Not only that, but God has good things in store for us as the church, as I just mentioned a moment ago. Will the real church of Jesus Christ please stand up? Come on, somebody. I believe that God is looking for his church to arise and to shine, for their light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon them. Will the real church of Jesus Christ please stand up? You know what? If we're not going to stand up, the truth is our generation might get passed over. But I believe I'm in a group of young people who are saying, God, this is not the generation. I'm not going to be the generation that you're going to pass over. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to rise up because I know that you have good things in store. You see, the church, the church is the vehicle. We are the vessel that God has called to reveal his presence and to reveal his glory and usher his kingdom into the earth. He's not going to do it on his own. God could do anything, but he chooses not to do anything, well, most anything, without our cooperation. And man, I don't know about you, but that makes my eyes get kind of big. And I realize, hey, I got quite a responsibility while I'm down here on the earth to answer the call of God and to be a representative of his on the earth. Because one day I'm going to show up before God in heaven. I'm going to give an account for my life. And I don't want Jesus to be like, well, I called you to do this, this, that, and the other, and you did none of it. Why not? I could have done so much more. You could have reached so many more. I had so much more, but you didn't rise up. God has called you and I to rise up as his body and to be the representatives of his and the vessels and the vehicles through which God ushers his kingdom into the earth. I don't know about you, but I would love nothing more than for God's kingdom, come on somebody, in other words, his rule and his reign to take over. I'm tired of trusting in Democrats. I'm tired of trusting in Republicans. It's time for God to take over. Let's dethrone and you know how he's going to take over? He's going to take over through the church. So today, there's no reason why you and I should not be hopeful. There's no reason for you and I not to be excited. I mean, for crying out loud, have you looked at the book of Acts ever in your life? Have you seen what those people were doing? Signs, miracles, wonders, salvations, healings, you name it, it was happening. And you know what? I believe that God in these last days wants to pour out his spirit and his power in an even greater way than he did there in the book of Acts. Why do I think this? The Bible says that the end of a thing shall be better than its beginning. That's just how God works. He's constantly moving forward and bringing us into greater things from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And I believe that in the last days before that great coming of that second great coming of Jesus Christ, that the glory of the Lord, as the Bible says, shall fill the earth. And it's going to be filled through you and through me. How cool is that? And so today, once again, you know, there's no reason why we shouldn't be hopeful and faith-filled about this 2018. This 2018 could be the best year of your life up until this point. Do I have any takers? Hey, that's me. I want to experience God in the greatest way that I have ever experienced him. And so we should have this kind of outlook. We should have this kind of perspective. And my friends, today, if we don't, we need to challenge ourselves. We need to say, hey, I need to think bigger. I need to think greater. I need to believe God for more. I need to put myself in a position where, hey, you know what, God, my expectation is way up here. Not, oh, here comes another 2018. January as usual. We need to get our hopes up, and we need to, and as we do, God will begin to do great and mighty things. After all, God said, the impossible belongs to him who believes. So number one, if you want to launch into this 2018, into great 2018, you want to get your hopes up, you want to be faith-filled, expectant, number one today, you need to get a vision. You've got to get a vision. Now tonight, it is not my job to tell you the specifics of the vision that God wants to instill into your heart. The intricate details of what God has for you, that's between you and God. Now don't get me wrong, because everybody needs a good pastor, a good leader, a good friend to come along and say, hey, you know what? Kind of what you've been talking lately is a little bit wacky. It's a little bit crazy. I think you need to back off that thing just a little bit, because that might not be God. But ultimately, God has distributed his Spirit to each and every one of us individually. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and he's the one who's gonna lead and direct our lives. You follow me today, okay? But what I want to do tonight is I want to begin to set the parameters. I want to begin to give you a skeleton of a vision, the skeleton, the structure, the container, something that you can begin to fill the vision in. Do you understand? Something that can hold the vision is what I'm trying to say, okay? I want to begin to set the parameters. And my friends, tonight, really the parameters are limitless. Really the parameters are limitless tonight. And you need to begin to get a vision of this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Hopefully you're already there. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 20. Probably a familiar verse to you, but one that we need to look at again. And we need to challenge ourselves with again. It says, now to him, speaking of God, now to God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory and honor by Christ Jesus. Amen. I didn't quote that right, but whatever. You understand today that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask and all that you can think. Now, I don't know about you, but I've asked for quite a bit every once in a while in my life, and I've thought of a whole lot more. And God says that no matter where you've been, what you have imagined up until this point, I can do more than that. Not just more than that, but exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask and that you think. What is God saying? God is saying, I am God. I am all powerful. I am all sufficient. I have all resource at my disposal. In fact, that's not even right. He created all resource, and there's more where that came from, if you know what I'm talking about. So the possibilities are endless. The possibilities in our life are limitless. And God is trying to say, hey, listen, I know that you've been serving me up until this time. I know you've done some good things. I know that you've achieved some good things, and you've got some, you know, notches in your belt, and you've got some awards on your wall. Hey, that's great, but I can still do exceedingly abundantly above everything that you've experienced up until this time. So can you raise up your faith? You know, maybe tonight your outlook of 2018 is not, you know, a terrible one. It's not a negative one, but it's not a positive one either. You're just kind of coasting. Or maybe tonight you even have a positive outlook of 2018. But my question is today, could your perspective come up another level? I think that all of ours could. And I think that's what God is challenging us to. In fact, in this verse, I think really what God is doing is he's taking the onus off of himself and he's placing it on us as to the quality and the quantity of our 2018. He's saying, I can do anything. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. I can do anything. So it's up to you as to what things I do in 2018. I like to describe it this way. Maybe you've been on the freeway and you've done some traveling, especially in the Midwest. There's quite a few of them, but you'll find every once in a while, and they have them here. Sometimes they're built on top of a hill and they're just a big tank, but they're water towers. And these water towers are full of water. Now, I did a little research, all right? The average pool that's, you know, in the ground in a backyard holds about 20,000 gallons of water. Okay, the average water tower holds about 50 times that. So roughly about 1 million gallons of water. And they hold this water, you know, in case of an emergency. Some of them are used when, you know, it's peak time and there's a bunch of people using a bunch of water. And so that helps supplement. But imagine for a moment that you're in a place and I guess here in California, there's this big earthquake, right? And so water gets contaminated. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't put any water aside. I have nothing stored up. Like, I'm in trouble. Lo and behold, you hear a report, hey, don't worry, the city of San Bernardino has more than enough water to meet everybody's need. You can just calm down, just drive down to your local water tower, and you can get all the water that you want. She's like, yes, I'm saved. Me and my family, we're not going to die. It's going to be all right. We're going to be able to take a shower. Well, maybe not a shower, but all right. And so you go, you look in your food cabinet, and you find three or four, maybe five, you know, plastic bottles that, you know, hold a gallon. And so you're like so excited, like, okay, I got 5 gallons of water. I'm gonna go down or bottles. I can go get filled, and this is gonna cover me at least for a week. Right? So I go down, and there's the city officials are like, hey, you know, jump in line. They'll give you whatever, you know, whatever you want. So you get your 5 gallons filled and you're headed home. You're like, this is amazing. Just as you pull into your driveway, you notice your neighbor is pulling in at the same time. And in the back of his truck, he has a water tank that fits 1,000 gallons, and he has the whole thing filled up. And you're like, what? What? I got 5 gallons, and this dude just rolled up with 1,000-gallon water tank. He's got enough water for like the next 2 months. And so you go running off to the city officials like, what's up with you? That's wrong. And they and their response to you is, hey, we told you we could meet everybody's need as much as you needed, as much as you wanted. You could took, and your container was only 5 gallons. His container was 1,000. I'm sorry, but if you want to go get a 1,000-tank container, you can go get one, and we'll fill it. And I believe that God is telling us the same things today. And sometimes we approach God with this attitude, hey, you're going to do everything. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to do nothing. Well, if God wants me to have it, then I guess it'll come. And that's like, you know, that's like a terrible, that's like the worst thing that you can think. And God is looking for us to get our hopes up. And God is looking for us to get our faith up. And God is looking for us to step into some things and to begin to believe him and to begin to ask him. You know, I'm reminded of another verse that says, you know, you have not because you ask not. But everybody who asks receives, and to him who seeks they find, and to him who knocks the door is open. Pastor Joe, I ain't got a job. I ain't have a job for like 5 years. Are you asking? Are you seeking? Are you knocking? Because until you do, you ain't going to have a job. It's going to be another 5 years. You're going to come crying to me again. I'm going to be like, I'm sorry. It's not my job anymore. We need to ask. We need to seek. We need to knock. We need to get our hopes up. Because otherwise, we're going to be living far below what God has for us. And this is why it's so important for us to begin to adjust our perspective. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18, it says this. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The word perish speaks of an unraveling. You know, have you ever seen people, how they live when they are hopeless? They live for things that they would never live for if they had hope, if they had a vision of the future, if they had something that they were looking forward to. And it's when we feel like there's no hope, there's nothing in our future, there's nothing that we're looking forward to, that we begin to settle for less. And our life begins to unwind and unravel. And so it's so important for us to have a vision and to begin to see what God has for us and to understand that God wants to do great things in our life, because it will stir hope in our heart. And we'll begin to take on the necessary restraint to see it through to what God has for us. Number two is this: vision comes from God. Listen, tonight you need vision, but just don't come up with your own vision. Don't come up with your own plan. Don't decide for yourself what is best for yourself. That is like the worst thing that you could do. That's what got humanity in trouble to begin with. Hello? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way. Guess where your own way gets you? Your own way gets you into sin. Your own way, my own way gets us into trouble, gets us into perdition and destruction, the Bible says. But when we begin to trust God for our future, all of a sudden now we begin to follow his path and we end up where God wants us. And we don't find ourselves destroyed. We don't find ourselves hurt. We don't find ourselves wondering what the heck happened. God, where are you? So don't come up with for yourself a vision for your life. Yes, you need a vision, but get with God and find out what his vision is for your life. Proverbs 29, verse number 18 in the Amplified says this: where there is no vision, and then it takes a time out to explain, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Notice what kind of vision he's talking about. It's not just any old vision. It's a vision that comes from God. Do we have it up there? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where there is no vision. Time out. Let me explain what I'm talking about. No redemptive revelation of who? Of God. Revelation. In other words, something that's revealed. A redemptive thing. Have you ever gone to see a movie that had no redemptive value at all? And you just kind of leave like, ugh. I'm glad that wasn't real, right? Because it just, I mean, it just strips hope and life and joy from you. Somebody accused me of always wanting to see Walt Disney movies or something because I hated movies that had, like, I hate Moulin Rouge. That's like the worst film on planet Earth. I saw that movie, I just want to kill myself afterwards, all right? That one and, maybe there's another one I shouldn't admit that I watched, but I didn't realize it was as bad as it was till I watched it. Anyways, okay, it's called Sweet November or something like that. Sweet November, I don't know. Anyways, I mean, just terrible movies, right? So what is the verse saying? The verse is saying that when we get the vision from God, that's the vision that matters. That's the vision that counts. That's the vision that's going to take you where you really want to go. Somebody said this. They said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I like that. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Don't take matters into your own hands. James chapter 4, verse number 13 through 15 says this, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. What a heart of humility. What a heart of I don't know, maybe I'm making up a word here, but yieldedness. God, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to look to you. I'm going to look at what your plan is for my life. Now, I wonder how many of us have spent any time in prayer asking God, what do you have for my life? I know what I like, but just because I like something doesn't mean that that's your plan for my life. And I find a lot of young people, and I don't mean to harp on anybody tonight, I'm not trying to beat up on anybody tonight, but there's a lot of young people, and we're enamored with media today. And so all of us think that it's our calling to go into some form of media, you know, a media vocation. And it's like, hey, not everybody can do media. There has to be some doctors, and there has to be some lawyers out there. There has to be some judges. There has to be some, gosh, we need some godly politicians. Hello? There needs to be some pastors and evangelists and apostles and prophets and teachers. But if all of us are just chasing after, you know, it's like God's not a God of anarchy. God's a God of order and direction. And God wants to give you a direction for your life. And so Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6 says this, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Amen? So today we need to get a vision. Number 2, we need to understand that vision comes from God. Number 3 today, we need to be faithful now. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. Now, we've talked about vision, and we realize, hey, once I got a vision, hey, I'm going to be able to run. I can read it. It's clear. I can follow it out. I can carry it out. I'm not going to perish. I've got a vision, okay? I'm headed somewhere. But then he goes on to say, and he says this. he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You see, sometimes God reveals to us what he has for our life. But just because he reveals something to us doesn't mean that it's going to happen right away. And sometimes God reveals things to us, but the part of it that he doesn't reveal is he doesn't reveal the path it's going to take to get there. For example, I think of King David. You know, he was anointed as king as a young man, and it was many, many years later that he assumed the throne. In fact, after he was anointed, and you kind of know the story, we're going to do this quick, but he defeated Goliath, he became great in the city, and then he was hunted by Saul for many years. But God, I thought I was supposed to be the king! And it wasn't for many years that he fulfilled God's purpose for his life. How about Joseph? I think Joseph is a prime example. Joseph had dreams and visions, right? Joseph had the vision. All of his brothers are going to bow down. I like that vision. No, just kidding. All of his brothers were going to bow down and were going to serve him. And he even shared this with them. And years and years and years later, he assumed the throne in Egypt after being betrayed, after being lied on, after his life was on the line, after being forgotten. And I could imagine the struggle of faith that this man had. God, I've done everything that I've known to do. and I've done it right, and I've been righteous before you. I haven't cut corners, and somehow I'm still here, and I'm in the worst position I've ever been. I'm in a prison. But he stayed faithful. My friends, if God has given you a vision, and it doesn't seem to be coming to pass, don't start getting crazy and cursing people out and making a mess of your life. Stay faithful. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't decide to go to another church. Don't shout me down while I'm preaching real good. Stay faithful with what God has put in front of you. Hello? Do you know how I became the leader of Shift? 14 and a half years ago, I decided I was going to be faithful. And here I am today. I've had a lot of young people come through here. We want the pulpit. We want to preach. We want to. Okay, can you be faithful? Well, can't you see the gift on my life? I'm so skilled in articulation. It is incredible. You need to give me the pulpit. The Bible says, if you're not faithful in another man's thing, who's going to give you what's your own? Faithfulness. God is looking for faithfulness. And many times it's that season of faithfulness where God weeds out the junk in your life that would wreck you if he gave you what he had for you to begin with. Oh yeah, it's not, okay, so the people have come to me, yeah, they've been called to preach, but maybe God needed them to be faithful a while longer while he worked on them and got them really ready for what he had for them. Look, you don't want to step into what God has for you before time. You want to wait for his time. And God's promise is, I've given you the vision. It's going to come to pass. You just need to wait. And when the time comes, it will not tarry. It's going to come through. Be faithful until now and until then. So be faithful. And then finally today, be ready. Get a vision. More specifically, get God's vision. Be faithful now. And finally, be ready to launch. Someone once said this, and I liked it so much. Success is when preparedness meets opportunity. Success happens when preparedness meets opportunity. You know, a lot of people out there, they think that they haven't found success and they haven't found good fortune for a lack of opportunity. My friends, most people do not miss out on what God has for them because of a lack of opportunity. They miss out because of a lack of readiness. They weren't ready when the opportunity came their way. Hello, somebody. And you and I need to ready ourselves. And we need to prepare ourselves. Well, how do I do that? You do that in prayer. You do that, as we said a moment ago, through faithfulness. You do that through the word of God. Well, I want to preach. Okay, do you have any verses in the Bible memorized? No! You see what I'm saying? You have to be ready. You have to have yourself prepared. Because we don't miss out on what God has for us because of a lack of opportunity. We miss out on what God has for us because we're not ready when the opportunity arrives. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." What is God saying? God's saying, hey, you need to be ready because the opportunity is going to come. People are going to ask you, why are you so hopeful about the future? Why are you so joyful? Why do you seem to go through problems without having, you know, without losing your mind? You have this peace about you. What's going on? Well, you could talk to my pastor about that. See, because you weren't ready, you missed an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. You missed the opportunity to sow a seed. You missed the opportunity. And look at today, if you're pointing people to the church and to the pastor, that's not a bad thing. That's not a wrong thing. Some of us have to start there, and that's good. But you understand what I'm saying today. He says, be ready, because you don't want to miss the opportunities that come your way. So I have a question for everybody tonight. Are you ready to launch? Are you really ready for what God has for you this next year? Or have you kind of been slacking off? I think all of us have slacked off a time or two. And it's time to say, you know what? I'm not going to live that way any longer. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to seek God's face. I'm going to get a vision. I'm going to get not any old vision. I'm going to get a God vision. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to watch God make me ready for every opportunity that comes my way. So the question is, are you ready to launch? The last thing I want to say is this. I'm going to go back to the rocket analogy I used earlier. Have you ever seen a rocket launch? you know, that there's that T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and the rocket launches, and there's this big, you know, explosion of fire and coming from these rockets, and they begin, I mean, it's kind of crazy because it looks like there's all this explosion on the bottom and nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden, after a few moments, that thing begins to get some, you know, upward force, and it begins to fly into the air. Well, as it begins to fly into the air, and I don't know all the terms, and so bear with me as I do the best job I can, but as that shuttle or that rocket begins to go into space, there are different components of that rocket that begin to fall off along the way, right? Those initial blasters fall off, and then there's some other blasters after that, and they fall off, and then there's some more parts after that that falls off until exactly what they wanted is, it's, you know, headed in the direction that they have for it. And so every part of launching, whenever something is launched, there's always this part that's removed. You know, maybe I could take a time out and say to you that not everybody that's around you in your life can go with you where God's calling you. And you have to be okay with that. In fact, there's been some people in your life that have been holding you back. And you need to realize, hey, they're in my life for a season, and hey, that was great, and you know, I'll always love them. I'll always be there for them as, you know, as much as I can. But you know what? They're not going where I'm going, and I'm not going to allow them to hold me back anymore. I'm gonna move on forward with what God has for me. You know, many times there's this stripping away of the things that hold us back in order for us to get. Now, sometimes these things are not bad. Sometimes, you know, they're in our life for a season to help us to get to that place where it'll fall off and something else will take over. And so tonight I say that, and I try to put this all together in a message to say to you that it's come my time to separate from the shift rocket and allow the next part of what God has for this ministry to go to places beyond where it's gone up until this point. Do you follow me? Did I say that all right? Did that make sense? Hopefully. I am turning over the pastorate of the Shift Young Adults to a wonderful man and woman who I trust very much and who I'm very excited for this new year and this new season. And I believe that God has called. I believe that they have been faithful. And I'm talking about Pastor Antonio and his wife, Angelina. As much as I want everybody to cry and be like, no, Pastor Joe, please don't leave. I'm not going to do that to y'all. No. Tonight is my last night in shift. And the reason for that is because, hey, listen, God's called me to do worship in the main sanctuary. So I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be here at the Rock. I'm not leaving the church. I'm still going to be here. If you need to talk to me, I'm more than happy to talk to you. You know, let's do it. Let's do lunch. Let's do coffee, whatever. I'm still here. And I told Pastor Antonio I have to be back to preach every other week. So it's going to be like I never left. No, I'm just kidding. Okay? But and so I'll be here, but it's time for me to move into the next thing that God has for my life. And for about the last seven, eight months, I've been between two ministries. And I think, you know, to be fair to shift and to be fair to the worship here, it's better that I am able to focus all of my attention on one thing. And